Live from the Brainswell Media Studios in beautiful Augusta, Georgia, this is the Ryan Dorn Business Show. Up next, Ryan answers your listener questions and digs deep into sales advice to help you grow your business today. Now, Emmy-winning sales and marketing advice from your fellow sales warrior, Ryan Dorn.
What's going on, friends and fans? Glad to have you back again. Ryan Dorn here, your friendly neighborhood sales coach. And hey, thanks so much for watching the videos, listening to the podcast. Don't forget to subscribe down below, however it is that you listen to the podcast or watch the videos on YouTube so you never miss an update. All right, this month we're focusing in on time management. Now, I speak about time management all the time. It's actually one of my favorite topics to speak on because there's several things I've done really well in my life. One of them is become a really ridiculous ninja of time. Haha, a ninja, if you will, of time. And that is because I recognize, and I'd love for you to consider this, just recognize there's no way for you to get 25 hours in a day or 26 hours in a day. So what we've got to do is figure out ways that we can manipulate the time that we're given each day to not only have a great marriage or a great family life or a great work life, but kind of figure out how do we just do more with less time? I mean, what do we do to be a lot more efficient? So there's three main things, and I teach a class on the 10 things you should do. There's three main things that I do. Now, this first one is a little bit different than most people either hear me talk about or you'll hear or see in a book or something like that. Most people would tell you, do the hardest things first. Well, I'm not saying that's bad advice, but it doesn't work for me because I'm really not a morning person. Like, it's not that I can't get up early. It's not that I don't speak at 8 o'clock in the morning. It's not like I don't have client calls at 8 in the morning, but when I'm getting out of bed at 6 or whatever the time is, I'm not necessarily like, yeah, let's go. It's just not me. Now, you might find that hard to believe because of the enthusiasm that I bring to speaking and doing this kind of stuff. But first thing in the morning, I'm kind of like, ooh, I need some coffee. I'm a breakfast guy. I need some breakfast. I need some coffee, maybe a couple cups of coffee. I need to watch a little bit of the news or whatever the circumstance is. So if you told me first thing in the morning, man, you need to do the hardest things, quite honestly, you're not going to get the best performance out of Uncle Ryan here. Good old Ryan, you're not going to get the best performance. So what I like to advise people to consider, as long as it fits with your work and with your supervisor's schedule and their expectations, I actually like to coach people that I actually do the hardest things of my day at the time of day that I'm at my best. So typically, in all sincerity, I'm at my best after lunch. I mean, I got the morning to kind of get things going. I do a tremendous amount of work and prospecting and things like that. But if I've got to really do hard things, it usually is going to be in the afternoons. My brain's ready. I've had plenty of time to have coffee and food and kind of get my day going and my body's jiving. And I really feel like if you're going to get the best out of me, you're going to be needing to ask for an afternoon performance. So when you think about the hard things, what's hard for you? Like if making calls in the morning is hard for you. See, for me, making calls in the morning, my brain's just not firing right. I'd have to wait till the afternoon when I have my brain, give my brain a chance to warm up and do some mental gymnastics and work with a few people and things like that. So for me, not that I'm never going to prospect in the morning, but if I've got some hard prospecting or hard tasks, I'm going to figure out, hey, when am I at my best? And then I time block my day around my schedule of when I'm at my best. Now, keep in mind, though, there's a little caveat, a little wrinkle there. Most of the time, though, I would coach you and advise you that you should build your schedule around your buyers. So you want to train yourself and build your life, your sales life, around your buyer's schedule. Well, I think this still works because if I've got my buyer's schedule in mind, a lot of times afternoon answering of emails, afternoon prospecting, afternoon type of things, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Now, let me be clear so I don't get about a bunch of hateful comments down below. I'm not suggesting you don't work in the morning. I'm just suggesting that you do the hard things at the time of day when you're really at your best. And that's what I like to do. All right. So the second thing that I like to do is I understand and I honor the 20-60-20 rule of time management. Now, this doesn't have to do with a time of day per se, as it is your allocation of time to tasks that are really important. So the 20-60-20 rule works like this. You should typically spend about 20% of your day in new business development mode. you would spend about 60% of your day in hosting of meetings, managing customers, doing customer service work, that kind of thing. And then what a lot of people forget is that last 20%. That last 20% should really be on retention, keeping customers for a lifetime. Now, I've spoken about it a lot. Don't forget, you don't want to confuse retention with customer service, right? Customer service is expected. Retention are the things you do above and beyond customer service to keep people coming back for a lifetime. So that might be your handwritten thank you notes. It might be non-sales phone outreaches. It might be sending somebody a gift from sugarwish.com or thankful.com or something along those lines. So keep in mind 20-60-20. 20% of your day, so about an hour and a half or so, should be spent on building that pipeline, prospecting, and setting meetings. About 60%, and not a whole lot more than that now, should be spent on hosting meetings, customer service, and that kind of thing. And then that last 20%, about an hour or so, should really be spent on retaining customers, renewing them, keeping them active, staying in front of them. Don't forget, you are 60 to 70% more likely to retain a customer than you are to get a brand new customer. And adding to that, most current customers are in excess of 50% more likely to try your new products and services. That's why that retention piece is so important. All right, so the first thing was you need to try to do the hard things at the time of day that really works for you. Don't ignore your buyers or their schedule. The second thing is breaking down your day into that 20-60-20 rule. And then the third thing that I like to do is I really want to focus in on not being random. So a lot of times you're going through your day and things happen randomly, and because they happen randomly, you see them as a good thing. And randomness is not going to help you in life. Don't confuse randomness with spontaneity. Of course, you should be spontaneous with your spouse or partner or kids or whatever. Randomness is, I'm kind of going through my day and I'm like, you know what? I should prospect a little bit. Yeah. You know, I should probably retain clients a little bit. Yeah. Well, those emails came in. I guess I'll answer them now. That means you don't really have a plan. And without a plan, or was it like Zig Ziglar? Somebody said, failure to plan is planning to fail. Somebody more famous than me said that. When you think about it, friends, you've got to have some type of plan. Like when your alarm goes off in the morning, does your brain automatically register that your day kind of has some semblance of order or some type of schedule? Or maybe you're one of those people that's like, Ryan, I'm living every day like it's my last day. It's like, well, if I'm living every day like it's my last day, I'm definitely not doing videos. I'm not training people. I'm not selling anything. I'm doing something else like vacationing somewhere or spending time with my wife or something like that. So when you think about it, one of the things I do to focus in on not being random is to really use the Pomodoro technique to my advantage. So Pomodoro being the Italian word, or for tomato, was actually tomato was developed by an MIT student that actually was having trouble focusing. And so what they learned is that their brain could really stay focused for about 25 minutes, and then they needed a break. So this MIT student, they actually had a tomato-shaped timer, and that's where the Pomodoro technique was actually born. This is how it works. It's very simple. I do it all the time. I'd love for you to consider it. You start a task for 25 minutes. So let's say you need to write a proposal or create something for a client. Set a timer for 25 minutes. 25 minutes. And then you work on that task for 25 minutes. Even better than that, set that timer nearby, use your phone and set it next to your computer. Let that countdown clock click in front of you, because your brain then goes into bomb mode, which means, oh no, I only have 25 minutes left, and then the bomb's gonna go off, or whatever your brain thinks, okay? So when you think about that, you see the countdown clock happening, your brain will hyper-focus, and you tend to be a lot more efficient. After that 25 minutes, ding, then you take a 5-minute break and then you do it again. Either you move to a new task or you keep going on that task for 25 minutes and you take a 5-minute break. And you're going to cycle through that 4 times, and then you should take a longer break, like go out and walk the dog or go outside, get a cup of coffee or go for a run or, you know, whatever your circumstance is. when you think about becoming a master of something, you think about mastering this type of time management world, you've heard lots of different authors like Gladwell talk about, Malcolm Gladwell talk about 10,000 hours to become a master. Well, that's why I try to focus on this every single day. I want to work towards that 10,000 hours of being a time management master. And I should probably look and see how much focus I've put on in the last 6 or 7 years. Maybe I would qualify for that 10,000 hours. But because that's sort of a really big goal, 10,000 hours before you'll become a master of it, this is what I would love for you to consider. Just work on it for, say, 25 minutes a day. Set aside your first 25 minutes for a task. Time block it, put it on your calendar, repeat it, follow that 20-60-20 rule. Recognize, friends, that your brain is sort of, I mean, this is not science or anything, your brain is kind of like a battery, and the only time you get to recharge that battery is when you come off task and take a little break. See, a lot of you, you don't come off task. What you do is you just change tasks, so your brain never has a chance to recharge, and you're maybe only slept 4 hours last night, maybe you're out with your buddies having some cocktails or whatever, didn't get enough sleep, didn't take your vitamins in the morning, didn't start your day with a breakfast, whatever. So you just got to recognize, friends, that our brains really need our help. If we take care of ourselves, we take care of our brains, we get plenty of sleep, and we have a plan for time management, that, my friends, is when you will almost always be more successful. So could I make a suggestion to you? Could I give you a challenge? Why don't you focus in on those 3 time management techniques for the next 30 days. Then I'd love for you to go in the comments down below and tell us how you did, because I believe that it's inside of all of us to better manage our time, and we better manage our time, guess what? The dollars will typically follow. Your stress will go down and your bank account will go up. Who doesn't like that combination? Never forget, friends, if sales was easy, everybody be doing it. If marketing was easy, everybody be doing it. If being a leader was easy, everybody be doing it. And they're not. We're not crazy. These are great careers that we've chosen for a reason. Friends, they will feed your family for a lifetime. I absolutely promise. Love to come to your office. Love to train your team. Love to speak at your national sales conference. I speak 40 to 60 times a year on time management and so many other topics. Reach out to me. Love to help. You can find out more over at ryandorn.com, D-O-H-R-N. Hey friends, my goal is really simple: to provide you tactical and practical information you can put into practice right away. Speaking of that, I'd be a pretty terrible sales coach if I didn't take my own advice, right? Hey, if you would, give me 30 seconds here to pay a few bills, take care of those people that are out there to take care of all of you. We'll be right back with your listener questions after these commercial messages.
This podcast is brought to you in part by the outsourcing experts at 032outsourcing.com. Virtual employees save you time, money, increase your productivity, and ultimately your profitability too. Learn more about outsourcing today. Visit 032outsourcing.com. Your podcast host, Ryan Dorn, has his new sales book on Amazon, Audible, and at Barnes & Noble. Selling Forward, Pandemic-Tested Strategies for Sales Success, has been called a must-read for every sales professional. 100% of the net proceeds from Ryan's book sales always go to the Golden Harvest Food Bank. Buy Selling Forward today at your favorite retailer. Okay, now back to the podcast. Here's your fellow sales warrior and host, Ryan Dorn.
All right, first question sent in from Ron in Calgary. Hey, Ron from Canada. Appreciate your questions. Ryan, why is it that all clients tend to say no as a default? I don't even have a chance to get anything out of my mouth, and they're immediately saying that they're not interested. Any help is appreciated. So, Ron, I can tell you emphatically and unequivocally, it's probably not your fault. A lot of times in the sales business, we've just been ruined by a lot of other bad salespeople that have potentially come before us. Now, it could potentially be a training thing for you. And so let's talk through that. For example, if someone picks up the phone and you say, hey, it's Ron calling from company ABC or from media company XYZ or magazine or radio station, the reason that most people can say, hey, I'm not interested is because they don't really understand what it is that we actually do for them. Or you've caught them at a bad time, or you're not a known entity to them. So think about this. I say it all the time. Stranger danger is real. as a kid, you were hopefully raised correctly. Thank you, Mom and Dad. You're hopefully raised correctly not to talk to strangers. Now, that was a problem for little Ryan. Ryan never has never met a stranger. I love to talk to folks. But most people that are normal, most people don't like talking to strangers. They just don't. That's why you see people go to a cocktail party. They immediately scan the room. And they're looking for somebody that they know. Now, I'm weird. I'm looking for people that are standing alone. Maybe that's somebody I can sell something to, or maybe I'm going to meet a new friend. But because stranger danger is real, and because most salespeople are salesy, most people's default is no. I just really just don't have time for this. So one of the things that I'd suggest you, no matter what it is that you're selling out there, is you actually don't introduce yourself first, because it sets yourself up for getting a no. Instead, I like to start out when someone answers the phone, like, hey, it's Bill, you know, how can I help you? I like to start out with a success story model. So I might say, hey, Bill, we're working with company A, company B, and company C, and they're loving it. I want to start out with something like that. Then he might say back to me, he or she might say back to me, they might say back to me, who are you with again? Who is this? Oh, I'm sorry. It's Ryan from such and such. And we're working, and I repeat it, we're working with company A, company B, company C, and they're loving it. I'd love to leverage what we've learned working with them to help you be successful as well. So what I'm suggesting to you is that even though it sounds like it might be sort of a sales trick, if you will, I'm just encouraging you to prime the pump, okay? Prime the conversation for success. Priming is not new. Priming has been used in advertising for years. The best example of priming is this. If I tell you to not, do not think of the color red, what does your brain naturally do? It thinks of the color red. If I said, don't think of the color red, you know, your brain thinks of the color red. When I immediately start out by sharing success stories or examples of competitors or clients or whatever, it makes somebody's brain go, no, wait a minute, what now? What is that? So it gets them off of the no default and into more of a consideration mindset. Now, the other thing you can do to beat stranger danger, Ron, is you can really focus in on making sure that as you're seeding these people, dropping little seeds in front of them or creating a breadcrumb, if you will, or path like that, that you can also just kind of make sure you're a known entity to them. Work hard to follow them on LinkedIn, like their stuff, comment on things. Just don't expect that the first time you reach out, you're immediately going to get a decision and answer of yes. Just try to be a little more strategic in that effort. So Ron, I hope that's helpful to all of you out there. No, unfortunately, is the default. And so what we have to do is make sure we recognize that most customers are going to say no four times before they say yes on that fifth outreach or that fifth attempt. So you've got to use math to your advantage. All right, next question comes from Tiffany in Chicago. Chicago, my little adopted hometown, went to college there, lived there a couple hours from where I grew up. All right, Tiffany from Chicago asked this question. Ryan, love you and respect you. Thank you, Tiffany. But, there's always a but, isn't there? But I find your subject lines that you've mentioned numerous times to be extremely, and by the way, that's in all caps and underlined, extremely salesy. I'm just concerned about looking pushy, looking non-human, and looking salesy. I don't think you can ever come back from that. Please give me your thought. Again, with all respect, Tiffany from Chicago. So, Tiffany, first, you're never going to hurt my feelings. If you don't notice, sometimes in the comments, I get a bunch of haters. I just think it's funny. You know, if they're going to go to their effort to hate on me, I'm like, hey, you must be getting something out of this, right? Okay, so Tiffany, with all respect to you and to the thoughts that you're having, and thank you for your respect of my thoughts on it, I think what's happening is you're getting really up inside your head, because there's psychology behind everything that I teach. So during COVID, I think I've shared with a lot of you, during COVID, I had a really unique opportunity to take an executive leadership psychology certification course from the esteemed Cornell University up in Ithaca, New York. And I did it all online. It was very hard. It was very thorough. It was an excellent executive education class. And I took a lot from it. One of the things I took from it is how the brain actually reacts when you put something in front of an individual. So the reason that I suggest very short subject lines, a lot of times with a question mark, is because it engages the brain to ask that person, what now? What's that? Or I need more information. Now, let me be clear, Tiffany. You know me pretty good. I've seen some of your questions come in, and I appreciate you. I think that it's important for us to understand that a lot of times we put so much information in the subject line that somebody doesn't have to reply. We give them the option of saying yes or no before we open the email. So when I do a subject line like, have you considered this, or would you consider this, question mark, or consider this, question mark, or your advice, question mark, or your thoughts, question mark, all those things make a prospect or a customer's brain think, now what's that? So if the subject line was your advice on this, question mark, it makes somebody's brain go, what do you want my advice on? They basically have to open the email, it forces them. If I say, you know, have you considered this, question mark, it may, or would you consider this? It makes somebody's brain go, now would I consider what? Basically, they are forced to open the email. Now, what happens is sometimes people think this is sort of a bait and switch scenario. I don't see it that way. I see it as a strategic way to engage somebody's brain in a positive activity. So you can engage people's brains, and this is one of the things I took from my classes. You can engage people's brains in positive ways. You can engage people's brains in negative ways. You can catch people in a virtuous cycle of behavior, or we can do a vicious or bad cycle of behavior. What I want to do is I want to engage them in a positive cycle. The cycle being they receive my email, the subject line intrigues them enough to open the email. They look at the email, and at that point, they have to consider to delete it, reply to it, report it as spam, or whatever the circumstance is. The reason you probably feel like they're salesy is because you're in sales. I'm in sales. Just remember that it's well documented that greater than 90% of salespeople have never had any training like this, right? 90 some odd percent. Crazy, right? Good for me. And all this in the training business. But the vast majority of salespeople have never been trained. So that would tell you then the vast majority of normal individuals that are out there, in air quotes, normal individuals, they've never been trained in sales. So they don't know what it is to read something that's salesy. Now you might say, yeah, they can figure it out. People are smart. Of course, people can always figure anything out. So what I can tell you is this, that feeling, because I'm not asking you to do anything unethical, Tiffany, I never would. Because I'm not asking you to do anything unethical, that little feeling like, ooh, I don't know if I should do this, Ryan. It doesn't feel right to me. What that is, it's not a feeling of guilt or your conscience saying you shouldn't do it. It's actually the feeling you're getting right before you're about to try something that could potentially get you growth. You just have to be willing to take that little bit of a chance. So here, what would the test be? What would a chance be? I would say that if you sent 10 emails with the same subject line and you got absolutely nothing from it, then guess what? You know, I'm wrong. It is. It is what it is. But let me read you something, Tiffany, that I think will matter from a client of mine, and her name is Rhonda. And Rhonda says this, Ryan, I was reluctant at first to try your very short subject lines and your 3-3 philosophy. As a matter of fact, I shared this concern with my boss. She said, Ryan is usually right, thanks. Give it a try. And guess what? I sent 20 emails and I got 10 opens and 5 responses. One of the responses resulted in a $20,000 deal. So, Rhonda, guess what? You're welcome, right? So I don't share things that don't work, Tiffany. I want you to give it a try. I think you will be just ridiculously successful. I know you're smart because you already reached out to me here. So have some faith, give it a try. And Tiffany, I want you to have the best success in Chicagoland you've ever experienced. So put your faith here in Uncle Ryan. I won't lead you astray. Friends, I'd love to answer all your listener questions. Send them over ryan@ryandorn.com. And in the comments below, hey, maybe you disagree. That'd be fun. Get in there and chat it up and we'll talk about it more. Another podcast all about sales and marketing will come your way very soon. Ryan Dorn saying thank you so much. God bless you. Get out there and sell something. If I can be of help, reach out to me, ryandorn.com. All right, we'll see you in 2 weeks.